accession number 20510, reel 1.
Right, would you tell me your name?
Peter Harbour.
Right, okay. And so this is Peter Harbour, reel 1. So, give me a bit about your background. Where were you born and when were you born?
I was born in Kellowind, a small village outside Worcester, about 4 miles outside, half miles outside Worcester. A family of 7. 4 or 5 boys and 2 girls. My father was an engineer at Heenan and Froude's. I went to Poyk High School, I say, because it's on the hill. No degrees, no high marks. I was very good with my hands and my feet, but that was about all. I became a cabinet maker. I went as an apprentice when I left school, Sporting and Davis, High Street, as a cabinet maker. And I played football. That was my sport. I would have liked to have been professional, but unfortunately the war stopped me because of that. To my war experiences, I played for the regiment and the Div when I was in the regiment. And
can I take you back to the outbreak of war?
Yes.
1939. I mean, were you anticipating it? How old were you then?
I was 17 then, and I became a runner for the RP. And we had some lovely evenings, really. Every time the sirens went, we went up onto a big house where they had a billiard table, and we played billiards and snooker. And eventually, of course, I was called up at the 19 years of age. 18 and a half, I suppose.
So what were your feelings when you heard that war had broken out?
Well, I suppose I was a young lad, full of anticipation, and I used to meet a young fellow when I used to go to work in the morning at Poyk Island. He used to live at Poyk, and we used to meet up, and we used to talk about joining up. And we both passed the remark that we'd like to go in the Guards. Well, he was fortunate enough to go in the Guards, and I was fortunate enough to go to the 53rd, the Reconnaissance Corps, which I'm very proud of.
Had you any idea what the nature of this war would be, or how long it could go on?
Not really. I think it's a lot of it is excitement of it all, isn't it? I mean, I went in it. I mean, you go in, you don't know what to expect, and when you've been through it, I feel I'm glad I didn't miss it. I mean, I'm glad I didn't go in there, and I went in there. On the other hand, who wants war to find that out? I mean, no one wants war, do they?
What did your parents think about you joining up?
I think, in a way, they were rather proud because I was the first one out of the family to go in. And I was the only one that was at active service. So I think they were rather proud. Well, you know, and especially when I came home, made rather a fuss of.
So, how did you get called up? Do you remember you got an envelope, did you?
Oh, yes, we were notified by post. And not knowing what the recce stood for. And we had to leave Shrubhill Station, where there were 6 other civilians. We met up and we found we were going to the same place. So there are 6 of us going from Worcester to Scarborough to join the 61st Training Centre.
How Had you had any sort of military experience before?
No, nothing at all. Yeah. I was always keen on fitness, because I'm a sport. And I've never really drank or smoked for that reason, partly that reason, but... So
you were just put in the recce unit?
Oh, yes. I mean, I think it was the war, principle of the war, wasn't it? I don't think you were selected in any way. You just happened to be picked out of the book and the order of the number, and that's where you went. Yeah. I mean, I could have gone anywhere, I think, you know, if just happened to be one that's picked for the reconnaissance corps.
So what did your friends, people of your age and your brothers and sisters, what did they think of you joining up?
I don't know. My sisters, of course, were very much younger, because they were the younger ones, the two youngest in the family. I think they were proud of the fact I was going in. You know, it was... I don't know, really. I don't know how they felt.
Because you were all aware of the First World War. Did you think it was going to be like that?
Well, we knew it would be different, of course, because, I mean, modernisation like it is today. I mean, our troops nowadays couldn't keep up with them today. I mean, it's all long-distance fighting now. Ours was closer fighting, but not so close as the First World War. Although with the reconnaissance, we were really fairly close.
So what was you went off on the train, did you? What was that journey like?
What, 55, 50, 60 years on? To me, expect me to remember that? I don't know, really. I think we might probably chatted on the way up there and discussing and wondering what we're going to meet when we get there.
Were you nervous?
Not particularly, no. Not particularly.
So you arrived at Scarborough Station then. Were you met at the station?
Oh, yes, yes. Get in line there, get in line. You're in the army now. You know, usual.
They took you in a lorry, did they?
I believe so. I can't remember, because we were up in Scarborough and we were on the south coast, south cliff, and we were put up in hotels, actually. Mind you, they were stripped to bare, and we were only camp beds. But we were very lucky to be there, I think. We had 6 months there. Then that is the difference between other regiments. We had, I mean, normally if you go into an infantry regiment in those days, you had 2 months initial training and you were in the regiment. Whereas at the training centre, we had 3 months initial training and then we had 3 months specialised training before we went to a regiment. And that was the difference of between the... I mean, they do say we're the forerunners of the SAS.
So I suppose one of the first things that happened when they took you in, as it were, was the issue of uniform and equipment.
Oh, yes, yes.
Do you remember that?
I do, yes. I remember I broke my first shoe boots in, and the first route march, we did a 25-mile route march. And when I got back, an officer came round, foot inspection. He said, "Where have you been?" "Must have been on the march." He said, "You can't." He said, "You're feet are perfect." In the last 4 miles of the march, we'd carried one fellow 3 miles until the CO picked him up. So, and the next pair of boots I had were second hand. I never wore them because first time I wore them, I had blisters.
What uniform and equipment were you issued with when you got there?
Well, the normal battle dress, of course, and forage cap, the usual knapsack, and everything that was issued, really. We were then getting the full equipment of the army soldier, really.
Did they give you a haircut?
Pardon?
Did they give you a haircut?
Yeah, but not too bad. I don't think I was too bad.
What was it like that first night in your new accommodation? Did you make friends?
I think you do. You do become friends. It's like a big family, really. I mean, I remember when we moved from the Grand Hotel to the Esplanade in Scarborough, we were up in the bed, four floors up, six of us in the room, only a small room. And one of them was a young opera singer from, he was with the Worcester Birmingham Operatic Society, Frankie Greaves. And I remember we used to sit on the window where a fellow used to have the accordion, and the three of us used to sit on the window and sing. He used to sing and we used to harmonise with him. And the civilians used to stand at his side and look about six deep on the pavement listening to us. It was great fun.
Do you remember what you sang?
I don't remember. I used to remember, but it's a long time ago now.
Did you see much of Scarborough?
Whispering Grass, I think it was, one of them, but you know.
Did you see much of Scarborough?
Not a lot, because the town was out of bounds, really. We used to be marched down there for the baths and different functions, so if there was anything on at the theatre that was connected with the regiment, with the training centre. But the actual time was out of bounds. So we didn't see a lot of Scarborough now.
What was the food like?
Very good, I think, considering it was rationing, and I had no complaints. Perhaps others did, but I'm pretty easy going.
So you were staying in hotels. Where did you, when you got up in the morning, where did you go then?
Oh, well, we were up, half an hour after we were up, we were out on PT and physical training.
And where was that done?
On the front, on the Esplanade. And often we used to run up, I think it's Mount Pleasant, or is it Scarborough, or Mount Olive, I can't remember now, but there's a big ballistic up on the hill, stands out. We used to have to run up there and back every day. That's part of our exercise training.
So was there a training camp anywhere near?
No, we weren't. We weren't in a camp. No, we were entirely in, almost like civilians, really, weren't we?
So
but the training was grim. I mean, training was tough. I mean, there we learned the initial training of to become a soldier. And then, as I say, the 3 months were specialised, such as learning to drive, learning to work an wireless operator, and also a marksman, gunner, in other words, gunner. Because in the reconnaissance corps, you had to be a driver, wireless operator, or a gunner, because you had to be able to take over another man's job if he got taken a hit, you had to be able to jump in and take over his job.
So did you have, kit inspections and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah, terrific.
Tell me about that.
Oh, everything had to be all lined up, and the belt had to be scrubbed, and brasses had to be polished. And if something goes out of place, you'd be the next day, you'd have to be inspected again, And that was the drill of everything.
How did you learn how to do it right? Who taught you?
Well, I think the reconnaissance corps was only formed in 1941. And for a specific reason during the war. And I believe that the training centres, the best military personnel were selected to train us, picked from all sorts of regiments, and they were the cream of the, what I think, and they trained us. I mean, what more can I say?
So you had a sergeant?
Oh yes, sergeant.
Do you remember him?
Well, not in the billet, but they had their own quarters, the NCOs, but I don't remember the names. I mean, so much was going on in those days. I mean, I remember the fellows I were with, was with when I first joined up. I mean, I didn't know the Christian names. I know the surnames of about four of them. As a matter of fact, I've got a photograph here of the day I joined up. That's the group that I was with.
Oh, right. Do you remember their names?
Yes, there was... well, on here it's myself, Frank, Ken, Ray, Fred, Dave and George. Now, the only names that I know are Frank Greaves, that I told you was saying was a singer in Birmingham, and Dave Cooper and George Walker. Those are the only the surnames I remember. I've often thought about sending that up to Zilla Black, see if they were still alive.
What was your sort of initial reaction to the army lifestyle? You know, because it was very different from living at home, wasn't it?
Well, I'm pretty easygoing, actually. And I think I fell into it pretty easily. I'm an easygoing fellow, you know.
Did some people find it difficult?
Oh, definitely. No doubt about that.
How did they find it difficult?
Well, for one thing, they weren't fit. And probably they were a little bit, perhaps. Me coming from a big family, of course, I mean, it's different, completely different. But I think they were single, you know, one child to a family, and they were probably spoiled a little bit. And I mean, there were times when I was home and I'd be forgotten. I mean, before I left school, I was doing errand boy for a grocery store for about 18 months. And I'd often come home at 9:30 at night, and my mother'd say, "Oh, I've forgotten you were out." And I'd have to get my own meal. I mean, my mum had a wonderful mother, mind you, don't get me wrong, and I had a wonderful family life. But I remember when I was a youngster, my youngest brother, he was in the pram, and of course there was no traffic about in those days, and we up the road, there used to be Hambury Anchor Tree and Walnut, you know, Horse Chestnut Tree. And we used to sit on the wall up there and watch a car go every 2 hours. A car used to go by. Well, it was a wonderful thing. And I now remember someone coming along and saying they'd found a badger or something. And of course, everyone scooted off, including me, leaving my brother in the on the main road. And I went straight home. Where's Lionel? Ooh, it must have been 2 hours after. And I'd forgot he was up there. I was supposed to be in charge.
So getting back to initial training, what was the discipline like? I mean, were they tough on you?
Oh, yes. Yes, we were. Well, that was the idea, wasn't it? It is the discipline. I mean, that's what the young lads need today.
What did you or your friends get in trouble for?
Not so much at Scarborough. But when I joined the regiment, there were a few things that went on. Such as when we were presented with forage caps, with a green forage cap, the completely yellow centre in the middle. And they were in Scarborough in Maidstone one day, all our lads in there, and they got in a fight. I think it was the REs or the TA, RA, and they put a couple of MPs in hospital and two or three other, you know, because we were pretty useful there. We'd been trained, and that's what we were there for. And of course, reported back to the MO and the CO, and they were all confined to barracks because of it. And the fellow said, "Oh, well, we can't all let the regiment down like that." So they went and gave themselves up, like, to. And the CO said, had them in there, and he said, "Well," he said, "you realise this is a big thing," he said. "Could be court-martialed for it," and one thing or another. "And what's your explanation?" And they said, "Well," they said, "so we were in this pub having a quiet drink, and with the forage caps we've been issued, they were calling us the Daffodil Boys and running the regiment down." He said, "We couldn't stand for that, could we?" And he said, "No." He said, "You realize it's a serious case," he said, "but you're the sort of fellow who's wanted my regiment," he said, "so I'll have to give you 7 days confined to barracks." It was a court-martial case, really. And that's the sort of thing we got up to.
What other punishments were there?
Oh, well, I mean, there's all sorts of punishments in the army. I mean, you don't hear them. I mean, fortunately, I didn't have any. Whether I was so easygoing, and fortunately, I was able to not get out of things, but avoid them. I was useful as a footballer in sport, which is very good when you're in the army. And I played for the regiment and the squadron, and that kept me fit, and we had to train for that as well. And I became very useful with a paintbrush. I guess we were so a bull regiment, if you understand what I mean by bull. And every weekend we had vehicle inspections. And came one weekend when the regimental sign writer wasn't available, and my vehicle was due to go in. So I went and found him, and I got a set of brushes and paint, and I did all my own signs. And then from then on, I was qualified as the squadron sign writer. So I walked around with a paintbrush and paint in my hand. I got out of a lot of regimental duties by doing that.
So when you were at Scarborough, did you do any guard duties?
No, we didn't. No, we didn't do any guard duties. There was nowhere to guard, was there? But no, we didn't do any of that.
So you were staying in hotels. What were they like? Had they been very posh hotels?
Oh, well, the Esplanade is the big one on the top of the South Cliff, isn't it? One of the biggest up in Scarborough, that was. And then the other one was the Grand, I think, along the promenade. The first one we went into, that was reasonably good hotel. I've only been back there once. And I've only ever been back there once when I went up to my daughter's graduation at Leeds.
Sorry, can I
keep
that?
At Leeds. And we went over there for the day. The day out.
So the hotel was just had army in it then, did it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it was only the army personnel.
Were you sharing rooms?
Oh, yes. I mean, I was sharing that. That was the first group I was with. There's a date on the back, look. 3rd of March.
Right.
So it was only 3 weeks after I joined up, and that was.
So what did you do in your spare time in Scarborough? You did football. What else?
I don't remember, quite honestly. It's such a long time ago. I mean, you fill your time in, don't you, when you're with a crowd of fellows. You play cards and chat about home life, and you get through it. I don't remember.
Were there long periods of boredom?
I think so. I think there was. I mean, I think that's automatic. Unless you've got a good education and you can go and discuss things with people. I think there's a lot of boredom attached to it, yeah.
And you went to the cinema?
Not very often. We went to a couple of times to a talent competition where Frankie sang, and I think he came second in that. But I don't remember going to the cinema that many times, no. But I say the town was out of bounds to us, really.
So did you meet any girls, or anybody meet any girls while you were there?
Well, I got my girlfriend at home. But we did meet some girlfriends, of course you do. You make friends with people. And there's the park. I don't remember the name of the park with a big lake on, and I remember a cousin of mine was stationed in the RAF at Filey, And he came down. He was out of bounds by coming down to meet me, but he came down and I'd already got friendly with a girl, and we went on the lake and rode them. But that was only friendship. Yeah.
Did people still miss female company?
Pardon?
Did you and your friends miss female company while you were there?
We weren't old enough, really, were we? 18 years, most of us were 18, 19 years of age. It was all new to us. All young men are looking out for women, aren't they? Really. If you didn't admire a nice young girl walking across the road, I'm thinking I'm getting old today. So I don't know what it'd be like when I was 18.
Did you see newsreels of what was happening in the war?
No, not really. Unless we went to pictures, of course, which is, as I say, as far as I was concerned, it was not very often. I mean, you couldn't afford to in those days. Your basic pay was £1 a week. And because I sent £15 home to my mother, I was allowed another £5, which made it up to £1 a week I was getting. And you couldn't afford to do things on the money you were getting.
Did you listen to the radio or read the newspapers to find out what was happening?
Oh, yes, I think that was automatic. I think you naturally... you got the news through the media and whatever the media was in those days. Radio, of course, and newspapers.
Did you have a radio in your billet?
That I don't remember. I don't think we did. The only radio we would have would be the Army Service Radio. I remember, don't ask me what the names of them were. My memory's going so poor that I can't remember names to my, I hardly remember my own name these days.
So, overall, did you enjoy your training?
I think I did. Yes. I think I did. I mean, it was a challenge to me. Like, I feel everything is a challenge these days. And that was the first challenge I'd had, really. And I think it was a challenge, because I felt myself a little bit fitter than most of the crowd there. Because we used to have competitions, you know, football and swimming and boxing, and we used to have to do all that. And I felt I was not probably the best, but up in the top echelon of the group.
So basic drill, you spent quite a lot of time doing that.
Oh yes, well, especially the first 3 months was mainly drill work, and you know, I mean, getting people into line and letting them know they're in the army, really.
Was there a lot of shouting?
Well, from the NCOs, yes. But I think that's only natural, I think.
What do they shout?
Well, of course, when they shout, come on, parade, you know, and parade, come on, fall in, line abreast, three, dress from the right, and everything, you know, those sort of remarks. But they had to shout to make the fair people at the back hear what they're saying. I mean, you got used to what they're saying. You didn't know what they're saying to start with, but you got used to their language, and because the different areas of the country, of course, have different, you know, what's the word?
Dialects.
Yeah. And they came from all over the country, didn't they? I mean, you've got the Geordies, you know, hardly what they don't know what they're saying half the time, do you? The Scotsmen, you don't know what they're saying half the time. And there was a lot of Scotsmen in the unit. But you got used to what they said, fall in, they'd probably, hurley, you know, and fall in, that's all you'd hear.
Did you enjoy drill?
I think so.
Were you good at it?
I like to feel I was reasonably good. I think that was through fitness. I mean, I felt that first 2 years during my army life, I was the fittest I could be. And then, of course, when I went over to Germany, over to France, I got blown up and it slowed me down. So I still play the football.
So some people found drill difficult, didn't they?
Yes. Oh, yes. Some people only had one right foot or one or two left foot, so left feet. And you found some of them. Their arms wouldn't cooperate with the legs, you know. You'd find the right arm would go with the right leg. You found that sort of thing. But they soon broke you in on that, the NCOs, and that you were still soon brought into line.
Did they shout insults at these people who kept making mistakes?
I found at Scarborough, we didn't have a lot of that. Naturally, there was times when you had remarks passed, but I mean, I don't remember. Quite honest, to me, I enjoyed Scarborough, my training at Scarborough.
That's the end of Reel 1 of Peter Harbour.